Exodus chapter number 3. In one hand grab Exodus chapter 3, and the other hand grab Isaiah 31. Exodus 3, Isaiah 31. We're going to be pretty much in two passages that we'll be looking at. We'll reference a number of other verses, but I'll read those. But I do want you to see Exodus chapter number 3. Again, a beautiful day today. I hope you can somehow throughout the day or somehow get a chance to enjoy it. Pray for Johnny as this Sunday will be your last Sunday with us. Is that right? Yeah, most likely he accepted a position over in the Seneca Falls area. And he'll be moving, not this weekend, but next weekend. There's a couple good churches. We've already talked about Pastor Fenton's church over there in Seneca Falls, but also Brother Dunbar's. And just pray for him as he gets adjusted to his new place. And he's just an hour away, so that's not too far, but might be traveling a bit for work. We're excited for him. We're praying for wisdom and peace, and he feels like this is the right job for him, and it seems like a great opportunity. So we are going to miss Jonathan Schultz, but certainly thankful for the opportunity to have had any impact. And Johnny, I'm gonna miss you. I really am. So, Exodus chapter number 3 tonight. Exodus 3, verse 7, it says this, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you how it gives us confidence, how it gives us direction, how it gives us hope, Lord, how it gives us joy. God, to know you is a joy. And Lord, I pray that we would take this simple truth tonight and make application in our life. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, turn over to Isaiah chapter 31. Keep your hand in Exodus. Isaiah 31 says this. Isaiah 31, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Sounds like a warning to me from God. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Verse 3, now the Egyptians, listen to this now. The Egyptians are men and not God. God warns us in verse 1. He says, woe to them that go to Egypt for help. He says, because the best the Egyptians can do is provide what man can provide. And he says, there's something so much better, it's God. He says, now the Egyptians are men and not God. And their horses, flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down. And they all shall fail together. He says this, he says, be careful where you go for help. What a good recommendation for us tonight. As Christians, where should I go for help? I ought to go straight to the throne of grace. We have that opportunity. We have that ability to come boldly before God, asking for grace and mercy and help. And he says, hey, I want to warn you. I want to take you out of something. I want to get you out of Egypt. Now, I understand that maybe physically, that's not what this is talking about. He's not talking... in this passage in Exodus chapter 3, certainly he wants to deliver Israel physically out of the Egyptians' hands. But there's more to it than that. When we go to Isaiah and we look at those things, man, Egypt is a type of the world for us. And as a Christian, we look at this, and if we could, in our mind, reread this passage in Exodus chapter 3 and not think of the Nile River and not think of pharaohs and not think of pyramids and not think of sphinxes and sand and all of that, but we think of the ways of the world versus the ways of God. And as we reread Exodus chapter 3, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. It's not just a physical place where there's sand and dryness. No, it's a way of the world. And God says, hey, my people ought not to be in that place. And I want to get them out of there because there is, and verse 7 says, much affliction. You spend any time in the world, and I promise you this, it will produce affliction in your life. The quicker you can get out of Egypt, the better. Isaiah chapter 31, woe to them that go to Egypt. Hey, if God is saying that, can we stop and just think about our own life and go, where am I living? Where am I at right now? Am I living in Egypt? Or am I in the promised land? Go back to Exodus chapter 3. Look at what he says in verse 8. He says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Did he not do that through Jesus Christ? Did he not set us free from the consequences of our sin? Did he not set us free from those evil ways that we once participated in? And look at what he says. I got something so much better. I got a land. Oh man, I got a land for you. A good land. And for the Christian, we're not talking about physical staking off an acre or 2 acres or 5 acres or half an acre or a lot that's measured in feet, whatever it is. Well, if I trust Jesus, he's going to give me a nice house. No, that's not what we're talking about, Brother Rodell. Brother Rodell got excited first thing. I know. He's out. No, he's talking about, hey, I got some promises for you. I got some blessings for you that Egypt could never produce for you. He's like, I got to a good land. I got a land flowing with milk and honey. Hudson's like, I don't want it. Honey produces bees, and he doesn't want any of that. No, he says, I got something. And yeah, don't worry about the people that are there. They're going to be moving soon. He said, I heard your cry, and I'm here to get you out. Why on earth as Christians would we go back to Egypt? Why on earth as Christians would we go to a place that produces affliction? Hey, life is hard in itself. Stay out of Egypt. The Bible tells me in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, tonight's message is called Watch Out for Egypt or Don't Go Down to Egypt. The first point is it produces affliction. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. Yeah, you could put yourself underneath the worldly rule. You know what you're going to find? It's hard. Israel was living underneath the Egyptian rule. And you know what they said? They cried out to God for the afflictions. Christian, you put yourself under the ways of this world, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be crying out to God because of the afflictions. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Man, if that isn't the truth, you live underneath the world, it is darkness. You surround yourself. You know, I listen to Mrs. Frediani in her prayer request. You know what she's doing? She's walking in darkness. That's hard. You know what? You walk around in darkness. You know what you do? You stumble. I know Brother Rice likes a nightlight, but I don't like nightlights. I like it dark. That's how I like to sleep. Well, there's a blessing and a consequence to that. Well, sometimes in darkness you stumble along. Hey, you put yourself underneath in the way of the world. The way of the world is darkness, he says. Hey, this wickedness, you know what you're going to do? You're going to stumble. Hey, in Isaiah chapter 31, three times in verse 3, it says, you're going to fall. It's going to fall. Hey, you're going to fail. Why? Because darkness produces stumbling. And when we put ourselves underneath the ways of the world, you know what? You're finding affliction. You're finding darkness. And you're just going to trip yourself up. Don't go down to Egypt. Exodus chapter number 6. Exodus chapter number 6. In verse 5. Exodus 6, 5. Exodus 6, 5 says this, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Here's a great lie of the world. You can leave anytime you want. That was the arrangement. Hey, when they first came over, Israelite was in charge. You got this land over here. What happened? A new king came in town, and all of a sudden he took everything that they had. We would like to worship again. I'm sorry, that is no longer available. That died with the last Pharaoh. Get to work. And the promises that the world makes you, I'm here to tell you, are empty and hollow, and you're just putting yourself underneath bondage. And you're going to try and get away, and those shackles are strong. I'm telling you, the ways of the world, hey, you get mingling around in that, it is hard to get out sometimes. You find yourself in Egypt, shackled to something you never had any intention, and you're looking here going, God, how did I get here? You walked. You volunteered. Don't go down into Egypt. It produces affliction. You'll be kept in bondage. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Hey, the word of God sets us free. It helps us see things clearly. It gets us out of this. In verse 6, it says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out of the burdens of the Egyptians. What is Egypt? It's the ways of the world. What is it like? Is it wonderful? No, it's affliction. It's bondage. It's burdens. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Praise the Lord for a God who can get us out of that. If you find yourself in the ways of the world and just immersed in those things and say, God, you've got to change me. Hey, he can do that. He can deliver. It wasn't Moses that delivered the nation of Israel. It was God who used Moses to deliver the nation of Israel. God said, I'm going to do this. If you go back to Exodus chapter, I think it's 1 or 2, he says, here's what I'm going to do. Well, he doesn't do it. He uses Moses, but it is God that does it. Verse 7, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out under the burden, out of the burdens, out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. No, the world's so nice. They care for me. Man, I remember years ago, there was a young man here, and they don't go here anymore. They were here. They just kind of, they came in one door and went out the other. Anyways, but I had a chance to talk with him, and he was so excited. He found a company that cared for him, he said. He was so excited. It was one of those telemarketing companies. He's like, and he told me this. I'm sitting at his table, and he's like, oh, that I wish Christians were as nice as the people at work. They truly care about me. You've been lied to. I'm sure there's nice people over there, but at the end of it all, if you're not producing, you're gone. So I'm just a short time after that. Hey, how's where? You know, that didn't work out for me. I wasn't surprised, but the way of the world is bondage. It's burdens. John 8:31 and 32 verses that we read on Sunday. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue on my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus isn't bondage. Jesus sets you free. We serve God and we love God freely. Outside of the children, all of you are here by free will. Get in the car, we're going to church. I don't want to go to church. Get in the car, we're going to church. But God doesn't force. We're not under bondage. Jesus is free. You know what? The ways of the world, that's bondage. It'll keep you. It'll keep a stronghold on you. Exodus chapter number 12. Now the Egyptians, they're so nice. The world's nice. Don't buy it. The ways of the world are not nice. Exodus 12 and verse 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel." And look at what he says. "And go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also." Quite a request from Pharaoh. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them. Hey, they won't want them anymore. This is the end of the story. But look at what they were finally allowed to do. Get out of here. Get out of Egypt so you can go serve your God. Do you see that? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve the world and you can't serve God at the same time. Get out of Egypt if you want to go serve God. That's what Pharaoh said. Take your people and get out of here, because what you want to do, you can't do here. That should tell us something. And he said, take all your stuff with you. Hey, the world doesn't even just want you. It wants all your stuff. It wants you to waste your resources on it, only to give you nothing in return. Every now and then we get a statement to the house. Hey, your two nickels are now two nickels and a penny in your retirement fund. Great. Sounds good. Thank you. So appreciate that. And we invest and we hope for good returns and all of that. And you know what? You can just keep paying the world, waiting for that return to come back, but the world never returns it. It'll just take everything that you have and leave you. Matthew chapter 5 reminds us, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be careful that you not lend your most valuable resources out to the world. Why? Because it'll just abuse it. It'll just walk all over it. Don't go down to, woe to you that go down to Egypt. Don't go down to Egypt. Why? Because it produces affliction. Because you'll be kept in bondage. Because it will hinder your service to God. Say, no, I can handle it. I'm telling you, it is really hard. It's really hard. Exodus chapter 13. They get out of the land of Egypt, and look at what they're told to do. Exodus chapter 13, verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Look at verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. He said, when we came out, we had to get clean. The ways of the world are not clean. But there's a way to get out of it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that tells me? Not only is there a way to cleanse it, but the ways of the world will never produce that which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is perfect to the will of God. It can't. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says this, think on these things. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you come out of the world, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take some cleansing. It's going to take a time. Hey, there was a seven-day feast of cleansing for that son. Why? Because coming out of the world, it takes some time to get clean. You can't live in the world and be clean. First John chapter 2. We'll look at two verses. First John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now here's the difficulty. As Christians, we almost all have to live in Egypt. So what do I do with all this? Well, may I start off by saying, be warned, don't be deceived. Egypt produces affliction. Egypt produces bondage. Egypt produces a hindered service. Egypt, coming out of Egypt, will require a cleansing. So can you be in Egypt and not in bondage to Egypt? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, love not the world. See, if the Lord wanted us out of Egypt, one day he's going to deliver us out of here physically. But until then, be careful where your heart goes. Because if an affection towards the ways of the world begin, you will put yourself right underneath affliction, bondage, a hindered service. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, but and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It is possible to be in Egypt, or to be in the world, but not of the world. And it is possible to abide in God while in Egypt. But you've got to be ever so careful. Do not grow any affection for the things of the world. I want you to go back to Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31. Let's read verse 1 again. Thinking about Egypt now as the way of the world, me as a Christian trying to live in it, and see if there's a solution, if we can find in this one verse, is there a solution of how I maintain in such a place? Woe to them that go down to Egypt, look at now, for help. It warns us, hey, be careful who you're going to for help. And stay on horses and trust in chariots. Be careful that you not get too trusting in your physical materials or the physical stuff that this world has to offer. Be careful that you not get enamored with the things of this world. When trouble comes, don't run to the world for help. Because they be many, and don't get overwhelmed by, wow, look at how good the world is doing. It's a lie. Look at all the horsemen, because they're very strong. When you have a house, you have to watch. If you're going to tear down walls, you know, thanks to Chip and Joanna Gaines, everyone wants an open floor plan and nothing. You got exterior walls and nothing in the middle. And you go, is that a load-bearing wall, or is that just kind of a faux wall? Is that a fake wall? Is that just to divide something? That's what the world is. It's just fake. It looks strong, but it's not. Look at what it says, though. but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. So if I'm going to be here as a Christian, I'm in the world but not of the world, I've got to constantly be reminded of these truths out of Exodus, but this important fact also, don't get enamored with the things of this world. Look to the Holy One. Seek the Lord. That's how you can walk into a workplace and still have a good mindset and a good approach to things and still be a child of God. Be careful that you not get enamored with the best that this world has to offer. It's a lie, it's empty, it's hollow. I promise you. The things of God are the only things that matter. They're the only things that'll last. So when you walk into your workplace tomorrow, don't wish for that guy's life. No, be enamored with the Holy One. Seek the Lord. Watch out for Egypt. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Hey, let's go to the Lord for our help. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. It's a great reminder you're not missing out on anything. God's promised land is the best land in town. It is a large, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, and the Bible says it is good. And that's where I want to live. I want to live in God's blessings, in God's will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for these reminders. Thank you for this mental correction. Lord, help us to not get enamored with the best that this world has to offer. God, that we would humbly come and seek you and desire to have a relationship with you, the Holy One. Lord, help us to desire holiness in our life. God, I pray you'd watch over us now, protect our men as they go out into the workforce tomorrow, and Lord, help them to keep their hearts and minds pure before you. God, help them to maintain a good testimony and shine light in a dark place. Lord, I pray for our ladies that are in the workforce. Do the same for them. Pray for our young people. Lord, keep their hearts and minds protected. Lord, help them to not be desirous of what this world has to offer. Lord, we sure do love you. Watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. If you want to help us with Selden Square, say, what is that all about? Sit right here. I'll tell you all about it.